Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. On this episode, I go to Akron, Ohio, virtually, to talk with Aaron Sparks. Aaron is the owner of a business called Mixology 21. It is a mobile bartending service which handles all sorts of events in all sorts of places, not just Akron. And if we're lucky, he'll be coming to your hometown with one of his very, very cool events. He talks to us about how he played music since he was a little kid, played in bands, and then also became an intern for a big record label. And in doing that, kind of stumbled into the world of cocktails and bartending, and that is what led to what he's doing today. So let's hear his tales of how everything came to be and how it is still changing and evolving. But yeah, I'm always excited to talk to music and booze people, and I've just found, and I have a feeling you may have as well, since you work in events too, that there's so much crossover, you know, in that world.
Absolutely. It's almost like they walk hand in hand a lot. Basically, a concert's just an event with music. That's really just it. So right. they work in tandem all the time. And when you can add a little bit of music to an event, you know, it makes it better across the board. Mm-hmm. That's actually one of the things we're getting ready to do. I'm creating my own event called Beats and Samples.
Ooh, and cool.
What that is we're pairing guest bartenders who come in and craft a specialty drink. So it's a cocktail class that showcases a particular type of spirit along with a particular song. So we show...
That's exactly what I want to hear about.
So all of that, it's the marrying of why I chose this for this and how this song makes me feel with the cocktail. And it creates an entire vibe all about it.
Absolutely. Well, introduce yourself to those who are listening and, you know, tell us about your business and everything, what you've got, because you gave us a little scoop there. And I'm so bummed to not be in the area, because that sounds like an amazing event that I would geek out over big time.
I would love to, honestly. End of the day, I plan on making it a traveling event.
Please do. Please do.
Plan. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, my name is Aaron Sparks. I am the owner of Mixology 21 mobile bartending service based here in Akron, Ohio. We do a little bit of everything from a dog's birthday party to cocktail classes. We've done divorce parties at the same time. Both of those, yes, I know you're asking if they were real. Dog's birthday parties happen. Divorce parties are scary if you're the only guy there.
Well, I live in Los Angeles, so I completely believe you that both of these events would happen, because I'm sure that there have been some dog parties in my neighborhood.
I have no doubt.
Right. No doubt. Very embarrassing dog parties and divorce parties. I actually had a divorce party myself when I was divorced. Okay. I married and divorced for fun to my best friend. So we couldn't get an annulment. So we got a divorce and we had a big party. We had a divorce. So
nice. That honestly sounds like something I would do.
We would have had you. So when did you, I seem to remember reading a little bit about you in that your music and booze were kind of hand in hand when you first got involved with both of them. What were you involved in first? Was it music or was it booze?
I was definitely involved in music first. I am literally a band nerd. Mm-hmm. I've been in band from fourth grade all the way to college.
What was your instrument?
So, I started out on the trumpet, mm-hmm. and I moved to trumpet, trombone, baritone, the guitar, and the keyboard.
Wow. Oh my God. That's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah. What made you pick up your first instrument? Was your first instrument the trumpet?
Yes. Yes, it was. Yeah. It really made me pick that up. Honestly, there was a choice of a few instruments. I know it was like a trombone, the trumpet, the clarinet, and I can't remember the last one. But at that point in time, you know, I was young. And I didn't want to play the flute or the clarinet because I thought those were girl instruments.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to hold a trombone all the time. So I was just like, I'm going to go with the trumpet because that sounds cool. And I remember seeing Louis Anderson on TV and I thought that was awesome. So I just kind of went that route with
Louis Anderson or Louis Armstrong?
Louis Armstrong.
I
just did Louis
Anderson. Louis Armstrong. I know, I'm like, those two very different, yet both inspirational in their own way.
Right. Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong. Yeah, that's definitely someone to look up to when you're trying to play a trumpet and everything. Do you remember what the first song you learned on it was?
Hot Cross Buns.
Well, that was me on the recorder.
Yep, that we learned that on for our entire band at that time. Right. Our first song was Hot Cross Buns.
Yep. So of all those instruments, were there any that you liked playing just at home for you? I mean, you know, did you goof around and play some pop music on any of it ever, or was it always band stuff?
In the beginning, it was really band stuff. Later on, I moved to jazz band, so that was a lot more fun. I got a chance to kind of break open there. I did a lot of improv, so that was a lot more fun. But when practicing at home, it was a little rough because my mom got real tired of that real quick.
Yeah, so right.
The one I would choose would probably be the guitar.
I really
started enjoying that. And I picked that up in college. Like most guys, I went and bought out a really cheap guitar to meet girls.
Did it work?
I really found out that I really enjoyed it. Like I taught myself how to play from a lot of YouTube videos and Estimon VHS tapes.
So you actually enjoyed playing guitar. So you were playing music for yourself. And did you meet any girls?
Yes,
yay! I did. Excellent.
It worked out exactly like I thought it would.
Perfect. So what were you playing when you were playing guitar? What kind of stuff were you doing? Did you join up with a band, or were you doing like open mic stuff? Or
I honestly was sitting outside of my dorm just picking away for probably 6 months. Every rose has its thorns. Yeah.
And that got the lady.
That was my hook. And that worked.
That's a good one.
Yep. That was my plan. It worked out great. And from there, I just really started playing, like most guys, just a lot of stuff you heard on the radio.
Yeah.
Redoing a lot of that. And then I kind of stumbled a little bit more into blues. I didn't realize I was as much of a blues fan as I was. So I got really into John Lee Hooker. So that is kind of where my guitar style is today. I do a lot of just like boogie woogie kind of jams and riffs. So I really get into that. And on my electric, I might get a little Albert King on you.
Ooh, nice.
I kind of stick between those two. And now probably a little Lenny Kravitz. I like his style a lot. But yeah, those are pretty much my favorite ones.
Those are good ones. Yeah, it's all good ones. All good ones. Do you ever play with anyone, or is it just for you?
Not since college. Now I just kind of play just by myself or with the record. But you know, having the opportunity just to do that from college, because originally I was a music major and I wanted to do production. I got an opportunity to intern with Atlantic and Interscope Records throughout college, and I've got a chance to meet a lot of great artists and work with some amazing people.
Yeah,
that helped fuel up the way, fuel my way of wanting to stay in music, and it's just it's always been there.
You've got to have a good story from those internship days. I entered for Virgin Records back when I was doing that and wound up working in radio, but there was always something, you know, even if you were way low on the totem pole, there was always something that was interesting going on. Do you remember any good stories from those times? Atlantic's a big label. It was Atlantic Interscope, you said?
Yes.
One of the huge artists, one of the best. I mean, honestly.
It was a great time, and it was so many different artists, and it was right around a lot of the beginning of some of the larger ones we have now. Trey Songz was one. I was right there when he first came out, and one of the most interesting stories was trying to get his CD played in the club. So what I ended up doing is going downtown to Cleveland. And sometimes I would also work as a brand ambassador. Mm-hmm. So I would go get my brand ambassador stuff and act like I was working an event at the club so I could get into the club. And I would have like some of our swag and we would give out for souvenirs and things. And then I'd find my way to the DJ booth. And what I would end up doing is I would say, hey, I'm working with this brand today, and what you could do, if you could do us a favor and play this CD, because we're working with Atlantic this week, I'll give you a bag of swag to get the play. Nice. So I went through a lot of swag to get CDs played, and it was honestly a great time. I loved it. It was a lot of fun until I got caught. They really wanted to know where all the stuff was. I was like, I'm giving it away to DJs. I'm getting what you want. But
yeah, seriously. And that was the first Trey Songz? What was the single then? Yes. I can't remember what that single was.
Oh, my God.
That would have been like, what, late 2000s or?
Yes.
Like 2007 or so?
To tell you the truth, I do not remember that song.
I'm going to have to look it up too, because I was actually working, I was working for a cell phone company that was doing Apple kind of stuff before there was Apple. And I created radio stations. And I remember us talking about having Trey Songz come in and do a live session with us. But because he was new and we wanted to, we wanted to try to break new artists, you know, never it's got
back
to.
Back when he had the Braves.
Yeah, yes. Right.
forever ago. So those were great times.
Yeah, totally. So when you were, you were doing that, you were interning and all this, and you wanted to do production. Did you ever get to do any music production, or did you kind of phase out of it?
I kind of did a very, very little with a band in college while doing production classes. Mm-hmm. Definitely not as much as I would have liked. It gave me the opportunity to really see just how difficult, just honestly, it can be when you're trying to produce that one sound and get everything right where it needs to be for it to be perfect for the band and for yourself, because you know they're putting their faith in you that you got the skills and everything to do what needs to be done and make them sound amazing. So I got a chance to work, you know, a little inside of that world, and I do missed it a lot. Even after college, I did the whole early 2000s kid of beat making with LimeWire, downloading, and I did that whole thing for a little bit, but that wasn't the same. You know, it's not the same as working with, you know, live musicians and tweaking and getting everything, you know, to that one particular point.
I know I could have said hello the night if I'd known what to say. Instead of making love, we both made a separate ways. And now I hear you found much to you to hear that tears me up inside and to see you cuts me like a knife. I guess every rose has its thorn.
You were talking about going to the club and saying you were from Brands and all this and giving away swag. Yes. And everything. Now, when you were doing that, is that when you stumbled into the kind of bartending aspect of it? When
that
did you?
That's literally how it happened.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was also a brand ambassador. So I worked outside of a lot of bars and a whole lot of clubs. And I had a bunch of friends. And sometimes, you know, right when the night ended, you go change your clothes in the car and then you go right back to the club. And the best part about it is everyone already knows you because you just here giving stuff away.
Yep.
So, you know, I got a chance to make a lot of friends who were bartenders. And at that point in time, I became a guinea pig for a lot of drugs.
We are talking about clubs, so we know those things are around, but yeah.
I tried a lot of different drinks and it just, it was interesting to me just, you know, how they would make everything and just the tasting in the beginning. Cause I wasn't a big drinker in the beginning. And same, all I really ever drank was rum.
I would have like a 7 and 7 and just hold on to it all night long. You know, it was when I would go out and when I started having friends who were skilled bartenders, it was a revelation what you could do, you know, to create a cocktail. And it wasn't like and when they make a nice cocktail, you're not sitting there getting trashed, you know, cause you're trying something nice. And especially when you're a guinea pig, you're also helping them out.
Right. No, that's exactly it. And you realize like 2 or 3 drinks in that, wow, I need to sit down for a second.
Yeah. I need food now.
Yeah.
Give me more water.
It's completely different. Like you said, when you're dealing with someone who's skilled, and you can have 2 or 3 drinks and, you know, you're still have your faculties about you because it's a completely different thing. Mm-hmm. They're not just pouring. They're actually, you know, using crafting. The science behind it and crafting an actual cocktail for you and not just putting like, I don't know, 4 ounces of vodka to 2 ounces. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And a splash of cranberry juice.
Yep. There you go.
So then you were like, I need to get in on this business, get on the other side of the bar. How did that happen for you?
Well, right around that time, my cousin and I would go to a martini bar called Imbibe in Youngstown. And honestly, we kind of stumbled upon this place because like most afternoons and evenings on the weekend, we were trying to meet some girls, which is a common factor in a lot of my stories I'm starting to see.
We're talking about our younger days. That's a common factor for everybody's stories.
we really just stumbled upon it and it literally blew our mind because it wasn't a normal bar, you know, that we were accustomed to going to. It was a actual martini bar. And the biggest thing about it is their bartenders were quite skilled. So we would go there and we'd be introduced to all different types of cocktails and different types of beers. And we joined their beer and martini club, which was 20 beers and 50 martinis. And if you drink all 50 of the martinis, you get like a plaque and your name and a picture and all the beers. It was kind of the same. So that really drew us in. And it was right around that time frame where I really started to take more notice of bartending and cocktailing because I started to realize I actually like drinking. It's a lot more fun. I'm not just taking, you know, shots of Bacardi per Uno card anymore.
But you were also discovering the community around it, I think, at this point.
Yes, exactly.
Because I've done those sorts of challenges. You know, did you say 55-0 martinis?
Yes.
Wow, because at first I thought it was 15 and then I'm like, no, I think he said 50.
50 martinis.
That's a lot of different kinds of martinis. And I've done a kind of, I don't want to call it a challenge like that, something like that, where it was 78 drinks on a list and you had a year to complete it. And in
that's
that
how process, it was.
Yeah. During that process, I met so many people who are also doing this and hanging out there and made lifelong friends.
Exactly. Know? That's literally how it happened. They did my wedding. We're still friends today. I still want my wife and I still go there every now and then.
Did you meet your wife there?
No, I did
okay,
not.
Okay, I was going to say, because it sounds like your quest evidently worked.
Yep, it did. It unfortunately, though, that would have been like the most perfect story ever.
Imagine. But that's all right. I did not. Okay. Yeah. But you still met people. You still made friends. You met people. You learned about this community.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And all that did was just really pique my curiosity of all of it. Because from that, I kind of realized, you know, this is something, you know, I think I might want to do. Like, I like learning. I enjoy the craft side of it. It just looked like it was a fun thing, you know, for me. Plus, I realized if I mess up, I could just drink it. And that's fine.
There is that side. So what was your first official bartending gig then?
My first official bartending gig was downtown here in Akron. And it was at The Wave. No longer here. Okay. Long, long, long ago, where I was kind of just a club bartender. Mm-hmm. And it didn't last very long for me.
Yeah, but that's a good way to get your chops, you know?
It was high volume. Yeah. And a lot of my friends were there. And then I was just, I was not functioning well at all.
So first lesson to learn, right?
Yes, first lesson to learn. And then I was just like, you know, I quit. So I kind of quit on that one and stopped for quite a while, but I did start doing more research and actual learning about the craft before I even going to bartending school. So I went to bartending school and realized that also was a waste of time, in my opinion, because everything you guys are telling me I can do at home or YouTube.
So then did you make it back into a bar or did you move to your business?
I moved strictly to my business.
So tell me about that, because it's pretty amazing that you own this business doing this event. I mean, owning a business is hard regardless, right? So what kind of challenges did you have starting this thing up, you know?
Well, you're absolutely right. It is not easy in the slightest bit, especially in this industry. I got to the idea of doing my business was, again, while I was dating my wife and we were sitting at the Mocha House. I originally wanted to own a bar, and I had been working on this business plan for like maybe a year and a half. I was going to open my bar called The Night Spot, and this is what I was going to do and take it that route. And a few things changed. We moved to Akron. Where I was working at First Energy, which is the electric company here.
Okay.
And I was not a fan. I was not a fan at all. I hated it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're far away from both music and booze.
Yes, you know? I was not. Exactly.
I was
nowhere in the middle. So one very, very, very cold November day, I remember it all too well. And I'm sure everyone can visualize this. I had on like some thin church pants and church shoes for our dress code. And one day I was just like, you know, I'm done. And I got up and I walked out. And at this point in time, we were just early in our marriage. So we had like the one car and I didn't think this through like at all, This was just a decision. Like, I'm done. And I walked out and I realized after I got outside and left my badge that I don't have a car today. So,
oh no. Yeah. Oh, so you had to walk home in your thin pants and
you're not
good for walking shoes. Oh no.
I made it to like the corner where there was like an apartment complex because it was like 15 degrees and windy that day.
Oh,
I could not feel my legs.
I was going to say, so your toes were just about to fall off.
I made it inside the lobby of this apartment complex to finally get warm and like tried for like probably 30 minutes to call my wife. I kept calling her, couldn't get her, tried like, this is before Facebook calling, like left her a message on Facebook doing anything because she thinks I'm at work and I'm not. And I'm like, so I got to figure something out so she knows where I am. So I finally get a hold of her. and narrow down to where I am. And she comes and she picks me up and she says, what are you doing out here? I was like, well, I quit my job today and I'm going to start a mobile bartending service. And she says, oh, okay. And then she's, all right, well, what time do you have to be at work tomorrow? And I tell her no. I'm like, I'm dead serious. I was like, I don't have my badge. I was like, why do you think you're picking me up from an apartment complex? Like, I quit today. And she's like, oh, okay. So you're just gonna go around and make drinks for people. And I was like, yes. She's like, why? When they can just go to the bar. I'm like, trust me, this is gonna work. Don't worry about it. It's just gonna be great. This is gonna be a huge thing and everyone's gonna love it and it's gonna take right off. And I could not have been more wrong.
However, we know it's a good idea.
It's an amazing idea.
Yes. I mean,
you know, fast forwarding, I started out with a bar that honestly, you know, it's like, I feel like it's made of aluminum foil. And it's literally, if you sneeze too hard, it will
just fall crumble.
Apart. Yes, it will crumble completely. I started out with that, and I had business cards made up, and I would be in every single networking event all throughout town and throughout Cleveland. And I would tell people, you know, this is who I am, this is what I do. And I had a business card, and I had no business. I literally had, the idea, what I wanted to do, and I knew I had this really, really awesome crappy bar that
was mobile.
That was mobile, yes.
You could take it places. It you knew how to make drinks, like, and you had the mobile bar.
That's it. Go. I have drinks, and I have a bar that weighs 2 pounds. It's perfect. And this is how I'm going to conquer the world. So that is literally how it started with. Just,
and what was your first gig then? Who gave you the first chance?
My first chance was at the YWCA in Warren, Ohio, my hometown. Mm-hmm. Someone knew my grandma and gave me an opportunity.
I love it. I love it.
To kind of come down and showcase what I could do. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, I was like, this is great. But now I have no idea what to do. So, you know, at this point in time, you know, I had spoken with Josh, you know, who's definitely a great, great, mm-hmm. great part of my starting mm-hmm. this business. Even before the gig, I tell him all the time, I used to stalk him on Instagram all the time.
Yeah.
Just to this see
is
kind
Josh
of
Josh Davis, doing. Because yeah. he is very much a very strong and out there, you know, promoting yes. everyone, encouraging Absolutely. Good mentorship from him. Fantastic yes. person.
Mm-hmm. 1,000%. He yeah. definitely was, you know, and still is my mentor mm-hmm. In this. He helped help me figure out exactly where I needed to go and how to go about, you know, into the first event. Because I didn't think it all the way through, you know, mm-hmm. like you mm-hmm. do in the beginning of any business. You're just happy that someone's giving you a chance to come out and mm-hmm. do your thing. And you know what? I'll figure out the rest later on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they gave me the first opportunity to come in and make some drinks for a group that they were having in a meeting, and it went over really, really well. I think it went over so well because a lot of them I remember from when I was a kid, and mm-hmm. I think they were just happy to see me.
Oh, that's so great.
Which was great. It
yeah,
was great.
That's awesome. They were excited for you, it sounds
yes,
like. You're really, doing this really thing.
Were. They really were
amazing.
So that it was great. It was really, really good to have that first event not be a complete and total flop.
So but it gave you, I'm sure it was learning too. You knew what you needed for the next one. You know, you just Absolutely. Kept growing. About how long do you think it was where you felt like, okay, I think I have this dialed in now. You know, you're starting to have
what
that process.
Is this?
Wait, tell me about what year you launched Mixology.
Let's see. 2013.
Oh wow. Okay. So you've been doing this for a while. And I understand
yeah,
that
been,
well now
while.
You've got a team.
I mean, yeah, yeah. It took let's see to say when I had it completely dialed in.
Okay, well, let's say when you feel you had it mostly dialed in.
Yeah. We'll say what? Last year, I would probably want to say right around my fourth year mark.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Then you're kind of feeling like, this is moving, this is happening. And
it's starting to go a little better.
Yeah. And you have clients now. Yes. And you're getting regular work and, you know.
That's exactly it. It was clients, regular work, more name recognition. And the biggest thing was I was starting to be seen by a lot of people outside of my state and my city. So it helped on that realm because I was able to connect with others who were doing the same. And again, didn't know everything, but it gave me the opportunity to ask questions, to you know, see what do you guys do? How do you do it differently? You know, how do you surpass this? What's the next level? All those questions that you know I had at that time, and it just made it easier for me to find people who knew.
What is something you're looking forward to doing with your business, you know, moving forward now that we were just talking before we started this about we're coming out of the pandemic now. You know, people are having events again. You know, they're big events, and you yourself are planning an event of your own. It sounds
correct.
Like. So correct. Tell me about that again. The plan you're going to do this, right? You're going to do
music and booze pairing thing. First date is going to be April 12th. What I'm looking at doing now, it's been great doing a variety of different events. And like I said, we've done everything from the dog's backyard party and we've done, we were part of the Republican National Convention when it was here in Cleveland. And I've gotten to go to other cities and states to do this and showcase. So it's been awesome. It's been great. But one thing I've always wanted to do was just create more. Literally my favorite quote is my business is to actually create throughout this life. So for me, having the space to be creative in events is where the next stage of the business is going to be. So inside of that, the first event is going to be called Beats and Samples. What that is an event of my creation where we showcase the marrying of music and cocktails and how they go hand in hand, and oftentimes just how a particular cocktail can fuel a song or fuel music or just even, you know, people as a whole. You know, when our range of emotions are going from happy to super sad, the first two things you normally do is grab a drink and turn on a song.
Exactly.
I mean, everyone has done that at least once. I know factually they have to in life. True. So this event is going to be showcasing guest bartenders from throughout the area, where we invite them to come in, use a selected spirit. It's also going to turn into a cocktail class where we show everyone how to make their chosen cocktail, and we literally do a breakdown of the ingredients in the style of this cocktail and how it coincides with the song that you chose. So we're looking at using music from absolutely every single genre because everyone likes something different, and you might choose a cocktail that gives you a R&B feel and someone may give them one that could be classical. So we really just want to showcase just how music and cocktails go together completely.
Do you have something in mind for yourself that, I mean, there had to be an inspiration for you besides the, sometimes when you're happy, you want to drink, when you're sad, you want to drink. Because do you have a song and drink combo that, that you would, what would yours be? Do you know?
Wow.
You're making other people decide. You should have an idea.
That is a really, really, really good question. I would probably say an old fashioned and probably Sam Cooke, James Gunn Come.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah. A nice contemplative setting.
Yes.
Because I can see you listening to that song, thinking about it and sipping on that old fashioned.
That's it.
I got the visual right there. Yeah, perfect. Yep, that was great. And so you're doing Beats and Samples on April 12th of this year.
This
and
year.
And this is happening in Akron? It is in Akron.
It's going to happen in Akron. Our first sponsor is going to be Uncle Nearest.
So yay. Yes.
So we're going to be just kind of showcasing that side. And at the end of the day, I would say it's my hope, but it's not a hope. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make this a traveling event. You know, I would love to go to different cities, different states, meet up with different bartenders, and get their creative outlook. And, you know, give me your song, give me your cocktail, and tell me why, you know, you feel this way, or it makes you feel this way, or how you got here. And let's show it to everyone else. Because at that point in time, we're all going to get into the headspace that we're just going to be talking about music. And that one time, whether it was, you know, your dog died, your girlfriend left you, or it was the happiest day of your life, and you were singing shots, shots, shots. It goes every which way. So
it's absolutely true. Or like you were saying, yours is kind of in between, because yours is a thoughtful, you know, setting. What is your thing is just when you come home and you want to relax, you know, what is that?
Perfect. I'm pretty chill. 99.9% of the time. So for me, that is literally, you know, I've had to go just off the top of my head. That is probably the best one, because I could also just sit myself there in the backyard, and I'll turn on the speaker and I'll just sip and
listen to some Sam Cooke. So, well, tell people where they can find you, the best ways to connect with you.
The best ways to connect with me are, of course, our favorite Facebook or Instagram, Mixology21. There is no I, so it's MXOLOGY and the number 21. You can find us again, Instagram, Facebook, anywhere online. I'm the only 21 out there, so you're going to find me.
And I was going to say, I think this is something you should take to New Orleans, should see if you can set up a little event in New Orleans of music and booze. I know I'll be there. Get some more people.
That is an idea.
Let's talk. We'll wrap this up and we'll talk a little bit more. So thank you so much.
We can absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Aaron, for taking the time. And don't go away. I'm just going to turn off the recording.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
All right, so now if you happen to be anywhere in the Akron, Ohio area, and you know, doesn't take that long to get to those places, cruise on out on April 12th if you're hearing this in time. And you can probably check out his Instagram at Mixology, and it's MX, no I, Mixology21, to get tickets to Beats and Samples, the Music and Booze Pairing Festival that he is throwing on April 12th. I really wish I could go, and maybe I'll get to see it in the future in another city. I certainly hope so. Thank you, Aaron, so much for taking the time to talk to me about what you do and how you got there. I really appreciate it. Everyone else, you might want to check out his playlist, and I've got the link posted on the Music and Booze with Mo Facebook page in case you want to find it and give it a listen. It's over on Spotify. You can find me there too. Okay? Okay. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com. And also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, SHEBMO, Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.